Blog Talk Radio.
And All Access Football Inclusive.
Welcome to All Access Football. I hope your Independence Holiday 4th of July weekend was safe and enjoyable. I'm your host, Bo Marchand. Today we're going to be starting with a special guest. It's Scott Bruner. He used to play for the New York Giants. He was drafted back in 1980, but currently he helps work at Test Sports Performance Center, and he helps a lot of these rookie quarterbacks going through the combine process get ready. Most notable, one of the guys that he helped along the way was Joe Flacco, and by coincidence, both of those gentlemen were also Blue Hens. So once again, Scott Bruner joining us on All Access Football this morning. Scott, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hello.
Good morning, Scott. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. You there?
We appreciate you taking some time joining us here on All Access Football. I was just getting the listeners up and ready. I mean, you played back in the 80s. You were a sixth-round pick by the Giants. Now you're working at Test Sports Performance, helping these guys along the way as they go through this process. Talk a little bit about, you know, since the time you left the NFL and kind of what you've done and how you got started working with Test and, you know, helping high school and collegiate quarterbacks.
Test is set up basically to help guys train for the combine, specifically focused on, their 40, their speed, their agility, and, you know, those drills that they need to do to impress the scouts. But, you know, we found that, especially at the quarterback position, that, you know, those raw numbers don't necessarily translate very well into performance on the field. And there's a lot more, obviously, going into playing quarterback than just putting up a good 40 time or a good vertical leap or something like that. So I got involved with working with a couple of guys, and we take on, you know, one or two quarterbacks every year who are coming out of college and getting ready to prepare for the draft. And we've had a lot of success over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, definitely most notable. One of the guys you helped along the way was Joe Flacco. What was it like working with him?
Just a great talent. You know, he was very much under the radar screen when he came to us, and we put him through a lot of what, you know, I felt are more pro conducive type of situations and drills. He was coming almost exclusively out of a spread shotgun type of formation, never really dropped back from under center, and we tried to help him prepare for that specific skill set, which you're going to have to do as an NFL quarterback. Very few guys are sitting in the shotgun 100% of the time in the NFL.
Definitely, and both of you, played at Delaware. So, what kind of connection? How much did you guys kind of reminisce about playing your college football with for the Fighting Blue Hens?
There wasn't really a lot of reminiscing. I mean, he he came in and he did a great job. You know, transferring in from Pittsburgh and. Had a nice junior year, but didn't really put up a lot of victories. I think they were somewhere around 500 his junior year. So, you know, everybody knew he had talent, but the NFL scouts not only want to see talent, but they want to see guys who are leaders and who can put a team on their back and carry them to championships. And that was really his task going into his senior year. And, lo and behold, he had a great season. And when it came down to crunch time during the last month or six weeks of the season, he literally put the team on his back and took them to the national championship game before losing to Appalachia State in the finals.
And back in 79, you actually led the Fighting Blue Hens to a national championship, which is something I'm sure you hold dear to your heart. And, Pretty impressive stuff. Scott, I mean, since 1980, when you got drafted by the Giants, I mean, we're in 2011, so you've gotten to see both sides of this. It's fresh in your memory. Take us back when you were going through this process. I mean, what was involved and what wasn't involved that we're used to seeing today in terms of, you know, people training at these facilities and then, the combine and pro days and things of that nature?
Yeah, there was none of that when I came out. You know, I was basically setting up shop at school and grabbing a couple of my receivers who were around and trying to work out in the weight room at Delaware. And there's still some guys who do that, but, you know, it's certainly much more sophisticated now. And if you're not training at one of these facilities, you're probably falling behind because there was no combine when I came out. The coaches came around to the schools and kind of evaluated you based upon their own criteria. and basically was run the 40, but, you know, for a quarterback, they wanted to see how you reacted in the pocket and how you could throw and what you looked like on tape. And now there's so many different matrices that these pro teams are using to sort through their prospective draft prospects that you have to be ready to at least impress them. There's from a quarterback perspective, you're probably you're not going to get drafted because you run a great 40 time, but if you run a really bad 40 time, you probably could get eliminated or moved down the list because it's more a function of how hard you're working than your raw ability, and that's what they really want to see from the quarterback position. They want to see guys who love the game, who love the sport, and who want to really do what it takes to be successful and win. And that's a reflection of the preparation you put into getting ready for the combine.
And when you look at these rookie quarterbacks, I mean, you played the position, you know it inside and out. I mean, what is one of the biggest things, the media or even, the NFL guy, I mean, what is one of the things that we kind of get hyped up on that we miss that's a vital piece to, how a quarterback's going to play? And on the opposite thing, what's one of those things that go under the radar as well that we should be paying more attention to?
Well, I think what most people, clearly the thing everybody focuses on is the statistics in college and the numbers that guys put up. And, it doesn't necessarily transfer well into the NFL based upon, the system that a guy plays in and the people that are around him. And, I think what you really have to focus on and what a quarterback needs to be good at is he needs to be good at the raw fundamentals, number one. And that's where quarterbacks are lacking these days because coaching staffs are limited to the amount of time that they can actually spend with a player in college. So they concentrate more on game planning and matchups as opposed to, really fundamental skills. So they're just going to try to get the best athlete, the football, and any way they can get them the football to make plays on Saturday afternoons in college. In the NFL, the windows get smaller. Everybody's the best athlete out there. You're not going to really expose many people. And the first thing I tell young guys when they come to work with me, depending on what conference they're from, but I tell them, you're never going to ever face a freshman cornerback from Texas or from Ohio State or from USC or whatever. They're all going to be men out there.
That's excellent. Once again, Scott Bruner, the ex-New York Giant quarterback, joining us here on All Access Football, breaking down the X's and O's of rookie quarterbacks and the development he is in the process of at Test Sports Performance and getting these guys ready for that transformation from the collegiate level to the NFL level. Scott, a lot's being made. The NFL lockout obviously is in place. You went through that, I believe, back in, in 82? I think it was, your second or third year at the Giants? So you know firsthand maybe what, some of the, what might happen with these guys. Newton, Locker, Ponder, Gabbard, Dalton, Kaepernick, all these guys, first, second round picks. How much is this lockout going to, hamper their progress at least this season or even moving forward? Because I know so much is made when guys hold out, like a Jamarcus Russell, and they say this time is so critical. I mean, in your opinion, what is going to be the learning curve for these guys?
Yeah, it's going to be a lost year for the young players. Not only the quarterbacks but all the young players. And in our case in '82, it was a mid-season work action, so you actually went through training camp, you went through all the preseason stuff. So it wasn't as much of a hit as these guys are going to see now. They haven't been in touch with their coaches at all and their coaching staff. And from a quarterback perspective, we talked about the physical fundamentals, but the real leap that you have to make in the NFL is the mental leap and how to process all that information. And these guys are missing out on valuable time and learning how to process that information and process the game in their minds at the NFL level. So it's going to be difficult for them to come in, and I would suspect this thing gets settled in the next 2 to 3 weeks. They'll open up a short training camp, go through preseason, but they're going to be cramming a lot of information into a very, very short time period here in the next couple of months for these young quarterbacks.
And then when you look at these rookie quarterbacks that go through the combine, the draft pro day, whatnot, when they finally get drafted or they find themselves on an NFL team, are there certain things that NFL teams could do better? Because it's such an important, vital position. Do you see some things that, the NFL or these teams could do to kind of help advance these guys so that, they are better equipped at, playing this position?
Well, it's hard. It's a crapshoot, as you know, as far as drafting and
science,
as far as picking a guy who, picking Brady in the sixth round, or picking Peyton Manning in the first round. I mean, they're the two probably top quarterbacks in the league. You know, why was one pick sixth and one pick first, and why were they successful? And I think if you look at why they were successful, you have two guys that are extremely competitive and extremely hardworking and really embrace the responsibility of the position. And, it's hard to figure that out in an interview, a couple of 45-minute interview that you might go through at the combine with a guy. And it's trying to pull that out. And you can't make a guy love the game. It's an inexact science, and it also has to do with what team you're put on. There's a lot of great quarterbacks that just didn't find the right situation, and they could have been great, and they weren't. And there's other guys who might not have been so great, and you turn around and they become maybe the greatest of all time. I mean, you look at the Joe Montana. If you put him on any other team in the NFL when he came out, he probably wouldn't be the Joe Montana that we know. But he fit into that Bill Walsh system. He knew how to run it. And, he's acknowledged as one of the great championship quarterbacks of all time.
I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, too. I mean, I always look at a guy like even a Jason Campbell, who went through a different coaches, offensive coordinators, Alex Smith down in San Francisco. I mean, I know it's something that's brought up. People are aware of, so many different coaches and different systems. I mean, how important and how much is a disadvantage of that? I mean, if you put Manning and Brady, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers in the same position, I mean, obviously they probably wouldn't have the same success, I would assume.
It would be difficult because there's a certain continuity that you want to have as a quarterback, that's what you see. The successful quarterbacks are usually from successful organizations that have good continuity in their management, and their leadership, from the front office right down through the coaching staff, and these guys have benefited from that. I mean, they're great players, don't get me wrong, but they certainly have benefited from that. And when you have uncertainty, it's playing quarterback and learning a playbook is like learning a new language. And if any one of us was faced to learn a foreign language and then a year later have to throw that whole language out right when we started getting familiar with it and learn a new language, we'd all be struggling a bit as well. And that's what happens with a lot of these young quarterbacks that you mentioned that might not have been as successful.
Definitely. And once again, Scott Bruner here on All Access Football. If you catch your show late, you can go to www.nfldraftbythetop.com. You can catch your show in its entirety. And he was the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens quarterback when he led them to the 1979 Division II championship. Once again, Scott Bruner. Scott, when you look at this rookie class, are there any quarterbacks that kind of I'm interested as well if you worked with Nathan Enderall. I know he was at test. I'm not sure if you worked with him or not. But
yep.
Besides Nathan, the quarterbacks that went through this class, I mean, what guys are you high on, and what guys you think will be able to translate their college game into a successful NFL career?
Well, probably the sleeper of the draft is Andy Dalton out of Texas Tech. I was kind of impressed. I mean, he's a little undersized, but I like some of the stuff that he was able to do, and he could be that guy that most people don't really have on their radar screen that could jump up and be a successful quarterback. And he's going into an interesting situation in Cincinnati with with their quarterback situation, Palmer, in up in turmoil. So it's that's one of the ones I'm keeping my eye on. And then Colin Kaepernick out in Nevada is just a raw talent who, if they can kind of get him to embrace the pocket and be more, he's got a great arm, but he just has those happy kind of feet, and he wants to get out of the pocket and run a lot. But if he can learn to really stay in the pocket and manage the NFL game from the pocket, he could be a surprise as well.
And do you kind of think he's just going to have that little extra push just because he has Harbaugh and, what he's been able to do, and plus he was an NFL cornerback himself? I mean, how far does that help him along in this process?
I think it's going to help tremendously to have a head coach who understands the position and understands kind of the psyche and the mentality of the position, and it's going to help his evolution and his maturity drastically, because it's it can be a fragile position, but it has to be a tough position. And you know, the guys who are successful are the tough guys. And that's the one thing that people kind of overlook about the position. You know, really good quarterbacks in the NFL are maybe the toughest guys on the field. So, you know, you have to, you sit there, you're taking shots, you know, you're taking the public criticism when things don't go well, and yet you still have to kind of manage the glory of the position, and the guys who can handle all that are the ones that that can be very successful.
Nice. And you work with Nathan Enderall then, the kid from Idaho. I think he was a fifth-round pick to the Bears. You know, talk a little bit about Nathan, working with him up close, and what, you know, what to expect from him moving forward.
Yeah, Nate Enderle from Idaho, you know, tough kid but very raw. You know, had some mechanical problems when he came to us, but you know, really played pretty admirably for a team that was not loaded with talent. And I think that's what the Bears really liked about him. He's a strong kid. He kind of fits into what they do. When he gets set in the pocket, he can deliver the ball down the field, and they have a vertical passing game. And, you know, he can sit behind Cutler and learn a lot, you know, a guy with a strong arm himself. You know, Nate will be a good addition for them. He's a smart kid. He's really tough, and he's a bigger and stronger than most people would, you know, would think. You know, you get next to him and he looks like a linebacker, you know. But he is really competitive. You know, he was. You could see it in the fact that we were trying to ask him to do some things that he wasn't comfortable with, and you know, he would get a little bit upset when he couldn't execute, you know, the way he wanted to. But ultimately, he stuck with it and he ground through it, and you know, he looked great. And you know, I'm happy that he got drafted by the Bears. It'll be a good fit for him.
Yeah, and I mean, I know this process goes on for about January to, you know, late March. For you, you know, during you know, what do you do besides, you know, work at test, and then, you know, kind of where do you you know, bring that income in to support yourself and, you know, your family as you you know, part time at test as well.
Yeah. My test and more of a hobby for me. I call them. It's more of a mentoring program. That's why I can only work with one or two quarterbacks a year. I work on Wall Street at an investment research firm called Buckingham Research, and that's where I've been for the last 12 years. And that's my day job, so to speak. And my hobby and my evening job is not only the guys getting ready for the NFL draft, but working for with some high school kids and some younger kids. So it's a lot of fun, and I have a couple of exciting kids. I have a young kid who's going to be a freshman at Rutgers next year, who I'm really excited about, and another young man who's from Rumson, New Jersey, and his dad happens to be the ex-Raider linebacker, Phil Villapiano, who I've been working with. He's going to go to prep school next year, but he's been getting looks from Iowa and a lot of the big schools in the Big Ten. So we're excited about working with those guys as well.
Nice. And how much fun, you know, how close does that kind of keep you to the game, being able to work with these kids? And then obviously once you're done working with them and seeing the success, how fulfilling is that?
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, I've always kind of been, as a quarterback, I've always been a fan of position. I've always studied, you know, what the good ones have done, even after I left playing. And I grew up the son of a coach. My dad was a high school, college, and pro coach, you know, in the NFL. So you know, it's kind of a family tradition, kept going along. Except I don't have to. Every time I change jobs, I don't have to move to a different.
That's excellent. Yeah, definitely. Probably a lot less stressful on the movement there, just having a Wall Street job. Well, Scott, we appreciate you taking some time joining us here on All Access Football. Before I let you go, I'd be doing a disservice to all the Giants fans listening out there. Give us a quick story about Parcells or LT. I mean, they were the big names on that team when you were with them. What's one of the funner stories that you could share with the audience listening today?
Oh, Bill Parcells' story. I mean, he was just. Parcells was one of the great motivators of the game. You know, everybody talks about his genius as, you know, a defensive mastermind, but you know, his real genius as a coach was the way he read the team from week to week and how he adjusted his style, and he kind of understood the psyche of the team, and he would know when to push you, and he would know when to back off and take the pressure on himself. But he used to. You know, kid me occasionally if if we weren't moving the ball the way he would want, he would yell across the field, "Hey, Bruner, it's October. Have you completed any passes yet? You're 0 for October, aren't you?"
excellent stuff. That's great. I love it. Well, once again, Scott, we appreciate you taking some time joining us here on All Access Football. I'm sure you might see Brian Martin before I see him, so I'll tell Brian we said hello. All the guys at Test, Kevin as well, those guys do a great job. You guys are definitely – I was down at the Combine, and I know they were excited just seeing all the top numbers coming in on the weight bench press. And I know Darrell Scott had a great 40 time, so those guys definitely know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you're part of that part of that crew that, helping these guys take it to the next level. But once again, we appreciate you taking some time and joining us here on the All Access Show.
Absolutely. They do a great job, and we battle back and forth because I tell them it doesn't matter what 40 time they run. They want to see those great 40 times. Except they just want football players, man.
That's right. The coaches and guys like yourself, that know it, yeah, definitely. It's not so much what you run, it's what you kind of do on the field. I agree with that as well. So, all right. Well, Scott, hey, once again, we appreciate you taking some time, and we'd love to get you back on maybe when this thing finally gets settled and the season has started so you can give us your assessment of what these rookies are doing.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Once again, that was Scott Bruner, the New York Giant, ex-New York Giant quarterback, joining us here on All Access Football. He was breaking the quarterback class down of the 2011. A lot of guys, a lot of big-name guys, Gabbert, Locker, Ponder, Cam Newton. Big names, a lot in place, a lot to go on with this NFL lockout in place. It's obviously hampering the learning curve of these guys moving forward, but that's what we're going to wait to see once everything does get in full go, what's going to happen and how these rookie quarterbacks are going to play out. We once again appreciate Scott Bruner, ex-New York Giant quarterback, joining us here on the All Access Football Show. Once again, if you caught this show late, simply go to www.nfldraftbible.com. You can catch your show in its entirety. Enjoy your Tuesday.